What happens when we strip away the veneer of respectability and peer into women's most intimate desires? Lisa Taddeo spent 8 years immersed in the lives of three ordinary American women, documenting their sexual and emotional experiences with unflinching honesty. The result is a profound exploration, not just of sex, but of power, vulnerability, and our desperate hunger for connection. These women's stories, sometimes beautiful, often painful, reveal how desire shapes our identities and how society punishes women who want too much or in the wrong ways. Their experiences, though vastly different, illuminate universal truths about human longing that resonate across boundaries of class, age, and geography. In a small North Dakota community, a concerning situation developed between a high school student and an educator. The 15-year-old student, experiencing difficulties at home, found herself receiving increased attention from her English teacher, who was well-respected in the community. The dynamic began through academic discussions, but gradually crossed professional boundaries. Their communications included literary analysis of popular young adult fiction, particularly focusing on themes of forbidden relationships. The teacher initiated inappropriate contact through multiple channels, including extensive phone communications outside of school hours. The situation ended abruptly when discovered, leaving the student psychologically impacted. Years later, when the teacher received professional accolades, the former student chose to report the misconduct. Despite documented evidence, including phone records showing extensive communication, 93 calls exceeding 2,000 minutes, the community's response highlighted troubling patterns in how such cases are handled. This case illustrates several important issues in educational ethics: the vulnerability of students from challenging home environments, the critical importance of maintaining professional boundaries, how power dynamics can influence community responses to misconduct allegations, and the challenges faced by those who report inappropriate educational relationships. The outcome demonstrates the need for stronger protective measures in educational settings and better support systems for those who come forward with reports of misconduct. When was the last time someone kissed you like they meant it? For Lena, a 32-year-old Indiana housewife, the answer is measured in years. Her husband, Ed, recoils from French kissing, treats sex as an occasional chore, and dismisses her attempts at intimacy with, "Don't you have something to do?" Lena's fibromyalgia pain seems linked to her emotional starvation. When she reconnects with Aiden, her high school sweetheart, on Facebook, the effect is transformative. During their encounters, her constant pain vanishes, every inch of her soul waking up and smiling up at God. What makes Lena's story poignant is her clear understanding of her situation. She knows Aiden doesn't truly love her and is using her while remaining committed to his family. Yet she continues meeting him at gas stations, by the river, in hotel rooms, anything to feel desired again. When he whispers, "I love you," during sex, she treasures these words like precious gems. Is Lena empowered or exploited? Is she bravely pursuing needed connection or trapped in dependency? Perhaps she's both, a woman making the best choices available in a world offering few good options to those starving for touch. Sloane appears to have it all: beauty, wealth, a successful restaurant, a loving husband, and children. Unlike Maggie and Lena, her story revolves around abundance, particularly the sexual encounters her husband Richard arranges with other men, which he enjoys watching either in person or through videos and texts. Her story is complicated by body image issues stemming from adolescence. After a car accident, her family focused on the damaged vehicle rather than her well-being, and no one addressed her subsequent eating disorder, revealing the emotional disconnect in her wealthy, appearance-obsessed household. When Sloane begins sleeping with Wes, Richard's chef, their casual encounters develop into something more intimate. Their arrangement becomes hedonistic and also caring, with Sloane feeling genuinely loved while Richard benefits from watching or receiving updates. The situation unravels when Sloane discovers Wes's partner Jenny knows nothing about their relationship. Confronted at a farmer's market, Sloane cannot reveal Richard's orchestration. Jenny's accusation, "You're the woman, don't you know you're supposed to have the power?" leaves Sloane bearing the weight of female conditioning. Society consistently punishes women who express desire outside acceptable boundaries. Maggie is branded a whore by her community despite being the victim, with a jury dismissing her testimony despite substantial evidence. This reveals a deeply ingrained pattern of victim blaming. Lena's Catholic upbringing instilled guilt about her sexuality, leaving her emotionally and physically starved in marriage. Even her women's discussion group oscillates between empathy and judgment of her affair, demonstrating how religious and cultural shame persists. Despite her wealth, education, and social status, Sloane faces identical derogatory treatment when her unconventional sex life becomes public. Her experience shows how class privilege provides little protection against sexual double standards. These narratives question our supposed progress. While our language has evolved, the underlying attitudes remain unchanged. Women who desire too much or desire the wrong things continue to pay a steep price for their authentic wants and needs. A powerful theme throughout these stories is how silence around desire passes through generations. Tadeo recalls her mother never reporting a man who followed her to masturbate because 1960s Italian police would dismiss it. "My mother never spoke about her desires, creating a legacy of silence." Lena's family dismissed her emotions with phrases like, "get over it," and "you have it good enough." When she finally says, "I want a separation," she takes a step her female ancestors never could. Sloane's patterns of emotional abandonment stem from her mother being sent away after an accident because her father couldn't bear to look at her. Maggie's mother keeps her husband's scent-filled shirts hanging on her bedroom door after his suicide, a wordless reminder of love. When evidence emerges that wasn't disclosed during Aaron's trial, Maggie shows little interest in pursuing justice, having learned certain women are rarely heard. White ones, rich ones, pretty ones, young ones. How might our lives differ if our mothers and grandmothers could have spoken openly about their desires? What silences have we inherited, and which are we passing down? Despite its painful subject matter, these stories celebrate the courage to acknowledge desire in a world that punishes women for wanting too much. Each woman risks everything, reputation, family stability, self-image, to pursue what she needs, whether justice, physical touch, or sexual fulfillment. Their stories aren't morally simple, but messy and human. Maggie risks community standing for justice. Lena defies conventions for intimacy. Sloane confronts judgment about her unconventional relationship while maintaining dignity. In the epilogue, Tadeo shares her mother's warning, "Don't let them see you happy," explaining that if they see you are happy, they will try to destroy you. This captures the tension between hunger for fulfillment and social penalties for pursuing it. The book concludes, "There was a beauty in how little my mother wanted. There's nothing safer than wanting nothing. But being safe in that way does not inure you to illness, pain, and death." These stories suggest true courage lies in pursuing our deepest needs despite consequences. Denying desire doesn't protect us from suffering. It merely keeps us from the fullness of experience that makes life worth living.